May the dear Lord help me to say just a few things from Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 18. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 18. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I have seen his ways. The Lord is in his holy temple. He is in the heavens, and behold, his eyelids try the children of men. For the ways of the Lord, the ways of men are before the Lord. Solemn, isn't it? Lovely text. But are you and I found in it, friends? I have seen his ways. He pondereth all their goings, yours and mine, all their goings. Here, the Lord God of heaven speaks to Israel as one man, him. He speaks to Israel as individuals, him, whose eyes are as a flame of fire, him, whose eyes go to and fro of the whole earth. Not one thing is unnoticed. How much are you and I covering up, friends? How much have you covered up this morning? Nothing goes unnoticed by him that sits above. What a thought, isn't it? He's always watching. He's always been watching. Not just when you think, not when you decide, friends, that he's watching. No, he's watching. The watcher silently watches. Do you know, as I got up this morning, I saw a caterpillar hidden under a leaf, gently munching away on another leaf. Nobody heard him. I saw him. He sees you, friends, you and I, whether it's in secret, whether it's under a leaf, like Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves up under a leaf. I have seen him. It's a lovely declaration from the throne of high, on high, friends. It's a lovely statement to come forth from that eternal throne. I have seen him. But it's also a solemn one, isn't it? He'll find you out. He'll find me out. He will. And it's to know that he'll find us out, friends. And it's a blessing if he does find you out in this time, in this state. All the rebellion, all the wanderings, all the prayerlessness. You think you pray enough, do you? You think you've said enough prayers when you get up in the morning, do you, to carry you through the day? It's a prayer life, isn't it? As the Lord shows you more and more, and how prayerless we are, aren't we? I have seen him. I've seen him. Look what he said about Nathanael under the fig tree. I saw you under the fig tree. Did he see you this morning, friends, under the fig tree? Did he? Did he see you confessing your sins this morning under the fig tree? I have seen him. Oh, may we be convicted in our hearts, friends, that he's watching us. Thou God seest me. To know it, isn't it? But you know something? Mercy outweighs it all. Mercy outweighs it all, friends. By him actions are weighed. By him mercy, it's limitless. Oh, it's limitless to these. I have seen him. to the poor tried child of God. It's such a sweet confirmation. I've seen him. I've seen him. I've seen him struggling. I've seen him toiling in rowing. I've seen him sinking in the deep. What a lovely thought if the Lord in your dark case, in your dark pathway, sees you, friend. His omniscient eye sees everybody. But what about that tender, loving, kind eye of the dear Redeemer? I've seen him. I've seen him. You think if it's spoken about you and me on high, I've seen him supplicating our name. I've seen him pleading the name of Jesus. I've seen him at the throne of grace constantly. No merit in us, friends. The merit's all in the dear Redeemer, but if he's seen you there, I've seen him. As far as the east is from the west, so far, friends, has the Lord removed our transgressions from us. He has. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it for granted. He has, friends. He's removed them up until this day. You and I are still found on praying ground. Think of it. We can still plead mercy that outweighs everything, everything of our life. Mercy outweighs this world, friends. The eternal mercy of God to a chosen people. I have seen him. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Before time began. Listen to these words. I've seen him in that eternal now. And in that eternal now, he set his love upon them. I have seen him. And you know, the dear hymn writer takes it up so lovely, doesn't he? He says, not all the wanderings. I like that. You find yourself wandering at times, don't you? Oh, not to sin against mercy. Not to go against that gracious Redeemer. But not all the wanderings of her heart can make his love from her depart. Think of it. The dear hymn writer knew he was being seen. I have seen him. Wonderful thought, isn't it? Has God cast away Israel? Never. God forbid. Oh, the apostle looked down, didn't he? He looked across the church. He looked at the wanderings. And the dear Redeemer still watching, still seeing, with compassion. It's to have the eye, isn't it, of sympathy and compassion and mercy upon you and I, friends. Do we know he's a God of judgment? Do we know that eye living within us? That condemning eye. I've seen him. But oh, the compassion and mercy of our God, the tenderness in his eyes, friends, as he looks down upon his people. God forbid that they should be cast away. Never. Listen to this lovely word that the apostle, he breaks out, doesn't he? He says, but God, who is rich in mercy. If ever a man could see that God watched him, he could. He looked at his life and he says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Can you say that this morning, friends? Have you come in? May we have, oh, may it be so, just a few spiritual hours today. You have a lot in the week, don't you, of nature and all the natural things, material things. We all have it, don't we? Hours and hours without him. To draw aside and just to have a couple of hours spiritually. In front of the throne of God. Oh, what a divine privilege it would be. I have seen him. Well, take that one home with us. I've seen him and he's watching still. Those that know him, oh, what a beautiful benefit it is that he's watching. Watching you under persecution. He's watching you under the struggles. He's watching you, friends, all the time. It's lovely to feel that being watched, isn't it? You know, when we were children, we loved to know that our parents were watching us. Why? That we felt safe. We felt secure then. Do you now? Do you now, friends? To know that the dear Redeemer's watching you? Sometimes, now and again, you just get those little appearances of him, don't you? And you think, Lord, thou art still watching, still watching. What a thought it is, isn't it? His mercy. His mercy is in the heavens, and his faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Oh, what poor sinners we are. I have seen his ways. Well, this is declared throughout heaven, friends. I have seen his ways. He looked upon the whole election of grace, and every one of them should be cast into hell forever. Not one should be saved. Not one could stand on their own merits. Not one could stand and tell the truth. Think of it, friend. Doesn't it convict our hearts? How undone we are. You and I have got to stand before him one day. What will it be then? Friends, those that don't know him, I have seen him in his sin. What will it be to those believers? I have seen him in a precious Christ. Think of it, isn't it? Doesn't it do your heart good if you know a little bit of this dear Redeemer? Well, those that don't know him, just a warning, friends, to each one of us. Death is on the road. And who can say how nigh? If it is just a duty coming in and out, if you have nothing solid in your religion, if you have not Christ to rest on, you are of all men, the apostle says, most miserable. Might be happy for a few days. Might be able to go along with the people of God for a few days. There was one or two that did that in Scripture, wasn't there? They went along so far, didn't they? They weren't going all the way. I have seen him and will heal him. Will heal him, friends. Oh, this healing. You know, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's what we are before God as he looks, as he sees us. You haven't got any better. Don't think you're getting better, friends. We're not getting better, we're getting worse. In the flesh. Wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Can you rise above that? No. Sold under sin. The wounds of the fall. They're evident, aren't they? Don't you see the wounds of the fall sometimes? And then the wounds of your own sin? Doesn't it raise its ugly head? The dear Redeemer said as he walked this earth, they that are whole need not a physician. Do you know this beloved physician, friends? They that are whole need not a physician. He doesn't mean anything to them. Oh, but the poor, weak, despised child of God. Is it your cry? Is there no balm in Gilead? Oh, is there no balm in Gilead, Lord? Has it all been used up? Have they taken it all? Have the people of God robbed me? Is it an inquiry, friends? Is there no balm left? They've been taking it for generations through this place. Oh, that lovely balm in Gilead. You know, it was the pine trees that dropped the gum. And the physicians used to go out and they used to collect all the gum up so that it could be used for health purposes. It didn't run out. The trees kept giving it. Think of it, friends, that lovely balm. Oh, we would speak so reverently, the precious blood of Jesus. It hasn't run out. It hasn't run out, friends. That the dear hymn writer said, didn't he, in that 160th psalm, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Never. Balm in Gilead. Never lose its power, friend. Till everyone's safe home in glory. Oh, the power of that precious blood, the balm in Gilead. Well, those trees, they only grew this side of Jordan. There wasn't any need for them the other side. There wasn't any need for a physician the other side of Jordan. But this side, where you and I are and where they were, That's where the gum was needed. That's where this precious blood is needed for you and me. Oh, it is. The dear hymn writer says, doesn't he? He says, 'tis he that heals our sicknesses and makes thee young again, this precious balm. There are physicians that are of no value at all, aren't there? How many doctors do you change? This glorious physician, you never change him, do you? You wouldn't change him for anything, would you? You wouldn't change him for anybody, would you? And yet how many complaints go up about normal, natural physicians? So many, don't they? But do you ever think of that heavenly physician to come and help you? No wounding, no healing. If you've never been wounded, friend, you'll never go to the physician. Never. When did you and I last go to the physician with a real complaint? With something that really hurt? Something that you couldn't deal with? That's why you go, isn't it? When did you last go to Jesus? No healing without God-given repentance. I have seen him and will heal him. He'll heal, friend. One look from Jesus. Just one look. There's no physician on earth like it. One look, and he'll change everything for you. The prescription is himself. And that look of love, that he looks right into your circumstances, right into your soul, right into your pathway. And all will be well. I will heal him. You know, when they came to the waters of Mara, they couldn't drink, could they? You know the story well. Have you been to Mara? Showed him a tree, cut down the tree, cast it into the waters. Have you seen the tree cut down? Have you seen it cut into the waters? Cast into the waters, have you, friend? Oh, the dear, precious Son of God, in his human form, cast into those bitter waters. And now they were able to drink, weren't they? But there's a lovely text that is annexed to that, and it says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Think of it. If you have that from heaven today, friends, from the courts of bliss by his own mouth, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, you might have some running sores. You might have some things that run in the night. You might have those complaints. You might have those disorders. But if the Lord were to say that to you and to me, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And he does come and heal his people. He literally does come and heal his people, friends, even today. Dear Elisha, when he went to the city, they said there was a spring there. You know, when you come in here, do you know there's a spring here, an eternal spring? I'm not pointing at anybody, friends, I'm pointing to myself. Do we know there's an eternal spring here? What is it to you? What is it to me? Does it cast forth nothing? So that the land is barren? So that there's no fruit? God put his spring here, friends. Until this place closes, and up and down the land, until the place closes. Where God is, there's a spring. But it didn't do them a lot of good. Till Elisha arrived. It didn't do them a lot of good, friend. Oh, the blessed teaching of the Holy Spirit, you know. Elisha turns up. And he asks for an empty vessel, and he asks for some salt to be put in it. And he went to the spring head. I like that, don't you? You know, friends, that's what you and I have got to do. We've got to get to the spring head. Not in and of ourselves, by his Holy Spirit, if you can get to the spring head, and that's where he poured in the salt. Now, naturally, yes, it would have helped the water, But you wouldn't be able to drink it, would you? Because we can't drink salt water. It was a miracle within a miracle. And can't you see that as Jesus? A miracle within a miracle, friends. The spring, and you and I able to drink at the spring head. Well, favoured character you are, chosen character you are, if you know this, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, it was by his stripes. If you look back to the dear Redeemer, it was by his stripes you and I are healed. By nothing else. Nothing else, friends. As the dear Redeemer suffered, those stripes that were put upon his back, they didn't realise that they were healing. They were for the healing of the nations. By his stripes, ye are healed. What a thought, isn't it? The dear Redeemer healing us all that time ago. And now us, if we're amongst them, friends, you and I being healed in their day and generation. I will heal him. Oh, I will heal him. But you know, I, as I looked at this, oh, that lovely word came. When they came to Jesus of old, when he was walking in Galilee and Jerusalem, and they came to him, and listen to what he says. I will come and heal him. You know, that was like balm into my heart. I will come and heal him. That's exactly what he said in eternity past, friends. I will come and heal him. He saw us lost and ruined in the fall. Still upon that gracious heart was, I will come and heal him. And today, in all your troubles and trials, he hasn't forgotten you. You've forgotten him, haven't you? You forget him days without number, don't you? He hasn't forgotten you. I will come and heal him. He left everything and he turned to go for one purpose, healing. Oh, do you and I need healing? Like I said before, if you're not wounded, friend, you won't need healing. But those wounds, they last, don't they? And who opens them up again? Only you and me. We open up the sore again, don't we? It's like a little scab that we pick. And that's what sin does. And it opens up the sore again, doesn't it? And you need balm again. It's a wonderful that mercy outweighs our sin, though, isn't it? Because we get into these places, friends, and mercy gets us out. I will heal him. I will lead him also. Look at this. He's going to do things for his people. You and I haven't got to do anything. You haven't got to do a thing, friends. This is the gospel. There are those duties that you'll have to do. There are those things you'll have to serve him in. I will lead him also. Lead him. And what you and I need is to be led out of self more and more, isn't it? You know, our poor nature keeps looking within. And we keep thinking the leadings are what we're doing. We keep thinking by looking in we'll be led out. You've got to look out, friends. You've got to be led out of self. It's not in you. It's not in me. It'll only sink you lower. You know, the more you look in, the lower you'll get. You will. It's looking out of self to Jesus lead. And don't we need to lead him to lead us into his will, into his mind. In every situation, in every pathway. Listen to this lovely word. He says, I will lead the blind by a way that they know not. You know, the old nature says, I'm not blind. I know a bit now. I've had my eyes opened. That's not what the scripture says. I will lead the blind by a way that they know not. In paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. and I will lead them also. Lead them. You know, it's a lovely thing for a child of God to go to his God and leave all your and my concerns with his God, isn't it? It is lovely to do that, to be able to do that. You know, dear Job needed leading, and what does he say? Thou knowest, but thou knowest the way that I take. Have you cried that before him? Thou knowest, Lord, the way that I take. When thou hast tried him, when thou hast tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knew the Lord was watching him. He knew the Lord could heal him. And he knew the Lord would lead him. If you need leading this morning, friends, you know we need leading into the scriptures, don't we? More and more. You know, as I think about it, we only read across the top of it, don't we? It's not how much we can read, is it? It's the quality of what we read. It's the depth of what we read. This is it. To know and to see Christ in the words. To see Christ in the verses. This is it, isn't it, friends, for you and I? I will lead him also. And it's not in and of ourselves. We can't lead ourselves into scripture. You might be fluent. Oh, you might be, friends. You might be able to quote a lot of scripture. But if Christ isn't in it, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It's good you've got a head knowledge of it, but it means nothing at all for your standing in eternity. You've got to know Christ in the page. You've got to know him in the scriptures. You've got to know him in the verse. He's got to appear to you. I will lead him also. You know, there are those pathways that we're led into. Strange pathways, aren't there? And our fathers chastened us after their own pleasure. The Lord leads his people into pathways for profit. For profit, friends. That's why. That's why you and I are found in these different pathways. For our profit. And for his glory. What would we be like if he left us? That's why our fathers, that example's there, they corrected us to keep us in the right way, so that it was for their pleasure, but for our profit. But think of the dear Redeemer. Our profit. He chastens his people so that we should profit, so that we should be partakers of his holiness. What a thought, isn't it? He leads you also. Well, in these situations that you and I are found in, I believe the poor heart cries out, doesn't it? Well, the hymn writer says it. He says, blind unbelief is sure to err. And don't you, friends, don't you err at the work of God in your life? You think he's got it wrong, don't you? We err. Blind unbelief. You can't believe it's in a child of God, can you? But it is. It was in the hymn writer, and it's in you and I. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter. And he will make it plain. He'll make it plain to you, friends. It might not be today, it might be today, but it might be in years to come. He will make it plain. Because the lovely thing is, the office of the dear Redeemer is interpreter. Just like Joseph. What a type that was, wasn't it? When he went before Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh the dreams. He told him everything. However did he know? God shall show Pharaoh. God shall show Pharaoh. And friends, whatever you're in today, God shall show you. He's an interpreter. It might be all muddled. It might be all foggy. It might be all distant. It might be something you don't understand. It might be something you can't unravel. It might be a divine mystery to you, and there are those things in their lives, aren't there? God is his own interpreter, friends. Just wait. Lay it before him continually. Oh, the interpretations of God. When they come about in a sinner's heart and life, a chosen sinner, friends. When the Lord interprets your pathway for you. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, it is. And he does it for his people because he says, I will lead them. So you might be being led today, and you might be blind. He says, who is blind as my servant? You might be, friends. You might not know which way you're going. Keep going. Keep going. Because when the Lord does interpret to you, exactly what is for you and what he means for you, you'll see a blessing in it. You will. I will lead them. How's he going to lead them? Well, we know with the sheep, don't we? The shepherd always goes in front, leading. Always. In those eastern countries. So the sheep can just look at the back of the shepherd and just keep going. And that's what the Lord does with his people, doesn't he? He leads them and leads them and leads them. He says, they shall come with weeping and supplications will I lead them. Now you look at a shepherd out in the eastern and you look at all those sheep and every one of them are crying. Every one of them have got supplications to the shepherd, but he keeps walking. He keeps walking. Just now and again, if one has a complaint, he turns round and deals with it. And then he keeps going. Oh, I will lead them also. Well, what's he leading you in, friends? Sin? Because if he's not leading you heavenward, friends, he won't lead you in sin. That's you and me. And the adversary. So if you're not being led by the Lord, you can only be going one other way. It concerns me, does it you? It concerns my heart. Am I really being led? It's easy to read this, isn't it? But to know the leadings of a precious Christ in our lives. All of us. Oh, lead us out of self. Lead us to him as our rock. Lead us to him as our all. You know, there are so many blind leaders. And we wouldn't point a finger and we wouldn't judge, but friends, there are so many blind leaders of the blind, and they're leading away from Jesus, aren't they? He's not uppermost. If self can come in a little bit, it helps. This isn't right, is it, friends? I will lead him also, and he'll lead you. Look at dear David. Oh, precious David. The Lord made him so precious to the family of God, didn't they? Because of his experiences, because of what he walked in. He said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Does that mean trouble's not coming? No. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Oh, David. You needed it, didn't you, David? You needed restoring, didn't you? You needed leading. Look at the dear man. Did the Lord lead him to go with Bathsheba? Never. Never. He saw that wasn't a leading of God. It was a leading of his own heart. And where did it end up? David at mercy's door. That's where it led him. And that's where all sin leads us, friends, to mercy's door. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, that mercy listens, mercy hears. Sin got David down in there. Mercy reached down in and pulled him out. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Is there a David here? Got yourself into trouble? Got yourself into sin. You need help out. Oh, mine arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Nor mine ear heavy that it cannot hear you, David. I can hear you. I can see you. But I'll let you suffer a little bit, David. So that you realise you sinned against me. I'll leave you until you really need me, David. But don't forget, my arm is there, David, to rest on. Restore. Oh, wasn't he restored, dear David? He was restored, wasn't he? The dear Redeemer restored him to salvation again. And the mercy is, David didn't deserve it. And that's the trouble with our old flesh. Until we realise that we don't deserve it, friends. We don't deserve it. We deserve nothing at all from him. But when he comes and shows us that we don't deserve it, we take up our rightful position before him then, don't we? I will lead him also. Oh, being led. You know, I think of those dear people down in Babylon. It's a lovely thought, you know. There they were. They'd hung their harps on the willows. They that had taken us away desired of us a song. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. Is it your complaint today? How can we sing a song of Zion in a strange land? Feel like that sometimes, don't we? How ever can we take our harps down from the willows? Ah, I will restore him and restore comforts unto him. Friends, look at the restoring of the people of Israel in Babylon. It wasn't long, was it, before they reached out. Each one of them had a harp. Each one of them reached out, and then loud to the praise of God they sang. Delivering grace. Oh, they sung deliverance, didn't they? The Lord taught them, though, and he'll teach you and I. And if you've hung up your harp on the willow, you've hung it on a good place, friends. Why? Because the willows grow by the watercourses, by that endless river of his glorious love. It's a lovely tree to hang a harp on, wasn't it? And there they took them down. And it says later on in the Psalms, it says, we were like them that dreamed. When the Lord turned their captivity, we were like them that dreamed. Never thought it possible that the day would come when we would sing again. Restore comforts. Oh, the comforts of the dear Redeemer. The comforts. He says, I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. The palmer worm and the canker worm. My great army which I sent amongst you. I will restore you. Those little things that have come and eaten everything up. Oh, the restoring of God to a people, to a person, as he brings them back to himself. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. The anger of God turned away from a people, turned away from an individual. And you know, and I know, friends, if we've caused him to be angry with us, it's not looking at our neighbour, it's not looking at our friends, it's not looking at our family. You know, and I know, if the Lord has convicted you, and you've made him angry. Restoring. It's personal. It's so personal. When the Lord restores his people to himself and gives you comfort. Oh, he gives comfort. Look at dear Hezekiah. The man thought he was going to be overrun and die. Had the Lord forgotten him? Hezekiah is not forgotten. I will restore comforts unto him. Look what he received at the hand of God. Even there, Hezekiah. No, it's too low. The Lord's forgotten me. Everything's against me. My life, the kingdom, even there, Hezekiah. He could come back, couldn't he? And he could say to all those in the palace, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand guide me. Oh, the instruction, friends, restoring, and he restored to him his kingdom and 15 years. Is he restoring you for something? You know, it may have been a long time since the Lord spoke to you. It may have been a long time since you received any comfort, but he's able. Oh, he's so able to restore. And he will. He will. He cannot deny himself. You'll see he's restoring mercies to you in your life. Restore comforts unto him. You know, the comforts that flow through Jesus. Oh, the comforts that flow through that dear person. You know, his dear life here below was so discomforted, wasn't it? Look at the discomfort he experienced. He went through so that he could fulfill this blessed word to his people. And restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Comforts of his word. Comforts of his promise. Comforts, friends, of the everlasting gospel to your heart.
You know, I realise more and more the privilege of the everlasting gospel that's full of comfort. It is correction, it is reproving, but the comfort that's flowing through Christ to his people. To the mourners, those that are mourning in Zion, those that are mourning at the dear Redeemer's feet. You've got a lot to mourn over, haven't you? We've got a lot to mourn over in our nation, friends. Those events that have happened, has it turned you into a mourner? A mourner after him? The hymn writer says, over my sins and after thee. Has it turned you into a praying soul? Or is it someone else's trouble? Someone else's problem? I will restore comforts unto his mourners. You know, I believe the dear Redeemer, in those sheep that are following him, they're mourning over their sins. They're mourning after him. And he looks back and he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will bless you. Well, in your and my life, friends, how is it today? Do we know any of these truths? Anything? Just one of them? You know, there's a sufficiency in Jesus to heal everything of the soul, all the disorders. There's a sufficiency, friend, to heal, to restore, to lead, and to comfort. To comfort. Oh, we shouldn't take these things for granted, should we? When there's so much in Jesus for the poor soul that needs it. This is it, isn't it? It's not a head knowledge. It's not a head knowledge. These things can't be learnt, friends. This is by experience, isn't it? But that by the Holy Spirit working in our hearts to lead us to Christ, to lead us into the way of life, to lead us into the way of righteousness. Oh, may we each be found being led, being healed, being led, being restored, being comforted, being led, being restored, being comforted, all the way through our life, dear friends, just like David was, psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm. And he left it on record for you and me, so that when we get into these places, we shall know that there's already those gone before, and the Lord will fulfill his promise to you and I. But something that is to be restored is turned back to its original, isn't it? Better than its original, friends, here. Because that union and communion that Adam had with God, think of the union and communion the soul has with the dear Redeemer now. Oh, the restoring. The restoring, friends. You know, I did a bit of welding at work years ago. And the weld, the part that you weld, is stronger than each bit of metal each side. It's not the weld that breaks, it's the metal each side. And where the Lord restores, that restoring won't break, friends. It's you and me that break either side of it. So he comes and restores you again and again and again. And you know, all our lives we need restoring. You know, some bits of work I looked at, there was only one part that was welded. It only needed restoring once. There were other parts that I looked at, and all the way along the bar, they were being welded. Which one are you? Which one am I? You need a bit of restoring, do you? This is the place, friends, a precious Christ. Comforts unto him and restore him. And he's slowly restoring the whole church for himself. You know, I don't really think, well, I don't realise how far we fall when we actually fall. It wasn't just a little distance, friends. It was eternal. We fall eternally from God. You can see why he's precious, can't you? You can see why when he restores that great work. I really think that some people think that they fell from God just a little distance. Then they can make it up. Away with such thoughts, friends. It was an eternal fall and an eternal restoration. In Christ will I leave it. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. He was a mourner all his days. Think of it. Every day he mourned over your sin. Not his own. He wasn't mourning over his own sins. He was mourning over yours so that he could restore comforts to you. It's real, friends. It's real. May the dear Lord forgive anything that's been said amiss. Amen.